live on the Tuesday Night Blitz. This is the Asylum Fantasy Football Show at asylumfantasyfootball.com and btrff.com.
Yes, indeed, the Tuesday Night Blitz. You know, send in some questions if you want to, if you want to talk to us, asylumfootball@gmail.com.
Hit us up on Twitter. I believe 3 away from 900. We want it desperately. I know it's not an impressive number, but we need it at Asylum Football. Follow us. Have your mother follow us, your sister. Get your dog an account, anything. We want that elusive 1,000 number is what we're looking for, Rick.
That's true. And you can also hear us on WSRU,
absolutely,
88.1 FM, the voice of the rock. You'll hear us Thursday at noon, and then again on the weekend for the weekend show. Don't have a hard time for it quite yet, but we're working into the schedule. We had a good response to it last weekend.
Absolutely. So, yeah, let us know if you're in the local market, that if you if you're listening to the show on WSRU. We want to be able to hear you. We want to know you're out there. So, look, big news, Rick. We actually have a sponsor for this week's show.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, it's great.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it to get
things
started.
Things are taking off. So draftstreet.com. Hey, if you haven't heard yet, there's a new way to play fantasy football that turns the season-long grind into quick-hitting one-week leagues, which sounds really cool to me. Best part is you can win cash every single week. You draft a team for 1 week and get paid out right when the Monday night football game ends. DraftStreet.com is at the forefront of this new trend in the fantasy world and has given us a great promotion to kick off the season. A free one-week league with no money. Free roll is basically what we're talking about, in prizes exclusively for members of Asylum Fantasy Football.
That's right. This free contest will be a salary cap type draft. What did I just say?
I don't know what you said.
It's a salary cap style drafting, where everyone tries to assemble the best team out of the available players, of course. You have a $100,000 budget to build a team, two quarterbacks, two running backs, two wide receivers, one tight end, two flex, and one defense. Each NFL player has been assigned a price based on their expected fantasy performance.
You can adjust your roster right up until the game start on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Your rosters will lock in, and there will be a live scoreboard available. So I know, go there, go draftstreet.com, find the free roll, enter the recruit code ASYLUM, and you'll get this free $300 free roll. Hey, it's free. Why wouldn't you check it out?
Exactly. All you have to do is just go to it and put in the recruit code ASYLUM, and it takes you right to the free roll. You get in there, and you can win money. And, you know, and if you like fantasy football and you're listening to this, so obviously you do, you know, and if you're not on draftstreet.com right now, you're missing out. At DraftStreet, you don't have the commitment of a full season because leagues only last 1 week.
Absolutely. So it takes that frustration out. If you've got the injury bug like we do in some teams, you get to reset every week. Predict how the week's going to go. We'll do the legal stuff now. Based out of the U.S., 100% legal. They accept PayPal and all major credit cards. So check it out, draftstreet.com. Enter the code ASYLUM. Get your free $300 free roll for next week and win yourself some cash.
Exactly. So let's get going. Oh, we got a lot to talk about
tonight.
What
a week. What a week it was.
I'll tell you, let's talk with the headline here right after the old Monday night football
Hold
game.
On. Before you start that, I know you want to talk football, but I deliberately didn't tell you this story. I'll make this quick, guys. I'm sorry, but I had the weirdest thing happen to me on the way here tonight, and I'm beside myself over it. It's called Sheetz. It's a convenience store. It's like your Wawa everywhere else in the country. And you can go in, they got the little kiosk, you order your food, and that's where I eat dinner when I come up here to the lovely Fireside Asylum Fantasy Football Bunker here in Rick Briggs' basement. So I stopped there to get my dinner. Now, this is a town of, what do you say, Rick, about 400 people live there, I would say. That probably underselling it, but...
the thing is, it's like 400 people every morning there, but yeah the town
well, that's
itself,
the
right.
town itself holds 400 people. At any given time, if you go into this convenience store, there's 780 people in there. I don't know if they bus them in. I don't know where they come from. So there's a million people in there. I order my food. I'm waiting patiently. They call my number. I watch a guy about your age, Rick, walk up, grab my bag, looks at the number on the bag, looks at his receipt, shrugs his shoulders, and walks out. So I chased him. What else am I going to do? I got a show to do. He doesn't know that I'm a bit of an internet celebrity and I have places to be. So I follow him out the door and say, hey, I think you got my bag. He gets in his car, says, no, I don't, and speeds off. So I have to go back in. And then they gave me a hard time about making me another one. So I'm 15 minutes late getting here because I've been hoodwinked. I've been hornswoggled at the sheets, and I can't get over it, and I don't know what to do about it. I just want it out there in the public domain what happened to me today.
Well, you know what happened, don't you?
He couldn't see like you.
No, he See, you're selling this guy short.
Okay.
All right. This guy ordered a stinking hot dog. And he looked in the bag and
saw my burger,
burger,
yeah,
your
and my mozzarella
burger,
sticks.
Your cheese sticks, your extra large fry, and your extra long, you know, ham and cheese sub on top of that. I figured, hey, why not? I paid $1. I'll take this.
That's what happened. You're right. He took $9 worth of food. He probably bought one of them healthy wraps or something. His wife told him he had to buy.
Of course it is. We know what happened.
But I've been hornswoggled, and I won't stand for it, and I demand retribution. I don't know how, but I'm sorry. Let's get into fantasy football.
Swallow your stomach.
Swallow your stomach. We can't use it again, Rick.
All right. Anyway, let's get on with some of these headlines here. It's right after Monday Night Football last night. Michael Turner decided to get hammered and go 97 mile an hour in a 65 zone.
Whoops.
So not really sure what's going to happen with little Mikey. But, you know, we might see a little bit of suspension coming. I don't know. You know, and that's the thing that kills me. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I mean, Kenny Britt gets arrested every Tuesday,
yeah,
and he's
elite.
Fine.
On live on the Blitz at btrff.com,
yeah.
The next Kenny Britt arrest.
Yeah, but, you know, so I don't know what they're going to do about him.
Well, I think if we want to use Britt as an example, although they didn't wait with him, Marshawn Lynch, you know, we all talked in the offseason fearing a suspension coming for him. And they said they were going to let the legal process go through, and so it's not going to be until January we're going to know. I wonder, they're almost going to have to do the same thing with Turner. I know Goodell isn't big on precedent. It's whatever his mood is that day. But I would say I would worry about some team discipline, although, however, when we get in the numbers, I hope you're not playing Michael Turner at this point anyhow.
Well, that's a good point, however, you know. People have him on their teams. And
probably your number three at work.
Yeah.
So anybody who owns him. So something to keep an eye on. I think at this point, though, you're only worried about team discipline. I don't see the league doing anything until
right.
They get a lot more details.
Yeah, most likely.
So let's move on. Ahmad Bradshaw, this is killing us. We have that one league with the Fantasy Trade 411 league with Trader X on Twitter. Two of our top three running backs were Mr. Jackson, and then Ahmad Bradshaw goes out with a neck injury last week. And my big fear there with the quick turnaround with that Thursday night game, I hate these Thursday night games. I almost don't see a scenario where he plays.
Yeah, I don't either. I can certainly see them sitting him down, you know, during the short week to give him, you know, a full 2 weeks to recover. You know, I don't think it's anything real serious, however. You know, you rush him into a game like that, it could turn into something long term, and we don't want that. So, I'm almost thinking he's going to be sitting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, and then Jamaal Charles leaves their game early when they got bludgeoned by Buffalo with a sore knee, I believe it was. Again, his status sort of up in the air. I'll tell you what, Rick, we'll start with him. That'll be the first guy we really break down. Jamaal Charles been a bit of a disappointment, and really they're spreading the ball around even beyond what we thought it would be with Peyton Hillis in the situation there. That ball's getting spread thin, and I worry he's not getting enough carries to merit the mid-second round draft spot we all took him in.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what's going on, to be honest with you. Look, you know, Kansas City has almost a mirror image start of what they did last year, you know, getting beat by 200 points the first couple of games last year, and they, you know, kind of righted the ship a little bit. In his defense, he had like 87 yards the first game. In a loss, you know, Romeo Crennel said, you know, he was ready to go in, but he held him out. You know, it could have been something. I mean, they were getting hammered anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you really
want to risk it? The game's
exactly.
Over.
So, you know, I'm not sure if it's that big of a deal. He said he was ready to go. He's listed as questionable right now. But, you know, you certainly have to keep an eye on that because that is – you know, you're coming back from a serious injury, so you just have to watch that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to mess with it, certainly, and, you know, not having a quick turnaround, I don't have as much fear, but definitely something to keep an eye on. So let's jump right in, Rick. We're going to change it up a little bit from how we did it last week. Going through every game and every player got a little cumbersome for me. I don't know what you think, Rick, but let's just hit the highlights, the lowlights, the week as it was. We'll start with the quarterback position, and Wow, raise your hand if you predicted that Eli Manning would throw for 510 yards and three touchdowns last week.
Oh, you did?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I called that. Didn't you hear me?
No, I did. It must have been on your other podcast, apparently.
Yeah, no, that was just a phenomenal, you know, and that's one reason why this team wins Super Bowls. They're not the dominating force out there, but, you know, they don't quit. They just keep plugging along, and, you know, good things happen when you keep playing.
You know, and the one problem with that performance from a fantasy standpoint, he also turned the ball over four times, unfortunately. He threw three picks, fumbled once, so, you know, That's become more rare with an Eli Manning turning the ball over like that. This game was just wacky. I don't think you glean anything from it going forward. Obviously, Eli Manning, a solid fantasy quarterback, but these aren't the kind of numbers he's going to put up. The numbers the wide receivers put up, what was it, 199 for Knicks, and how much did Cruz have?
I think he was, what, 179?
179. 199, 179, a touchdown each. Great games, huge for fantasy. I got bludgeoned in a league or two because of at least one of those guys. Nothing to expect every week, but a nice bonus out of a solid guy like Eli Manning, who became real elite for one week anyhow.
Yeah, and that vaults him to the NFL lead, at least for a week in total yards passing. He's got 723 yards, but 510 of it came in one game.
Yeah.
And, you know, interesting. Michael Vick's second in the league in passing behind him as far as total yards. I believe it's like 688, something like that. But just the difference. He's got three touchdowns, eight picks.
Yeah, the turnovers are a huge concern. Had a nice game last week, a nice fantasy game, but again, turned the ball over three times himself last week. I think that may be a more common theme coming from him.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about his decision-making, but however, they've pulled out two wins and sit atop the division at 2-0. So, I mean, you know, time will tell with Mike Vick. He looks like, you know, the football god one week, and the next week it looked like he hadn't played in years.
Yeah, and I think this is what you're going to get from him. And as a Michael Vick owner, you've got to be prepared for it. He's going to have down games, but he's going to have these games, big passing numbers, big rushing numbers, touchdown numbers may be a little down, but they're going to turn the ball over. These are things you got to live with, things you got to be ready for. The guy in the number two slot this week, Rick, I'm not going to take these right in order, but this really surprised me for last week. Carson Palmer, 373 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. That's massive coming from Carson Palmer, and I am stunned by it.
And it was just a pathetic game, too.
Well,
I mean, they had no run game at all. I mean, Darren McFadden was totally shut down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll get into that. That's, wow.
Yeah, there's quite a few disappointments coming so far right now. You know, we hit on Jamaal Charles, and he's not the big guy as far as disappointment goes, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no question about it. So speaking of disappointments, Rick, I want to ask you a question. What do Alex Smith, Sam Bradford, Matt Cassel, and Ryan Fitzpatrick all have in common?
Well, they're quarterbacks, of course, but I know that's not the correct answer.
No, they collectively, each individually, have more fantasy points, at least on a standard scoring league, than both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Raise your hand. I hate to keep saying that. Raise your hand if you predicted that at the beginning of the season.
Oh, I did.
I'm noticing a trend here.
Yeah, I'm pretty smart, aren't I?
Yeah, absolutely. I had to start listening to you.
Yeah. Nah, that's surprising. But, you know, we talked about Aaron Rodgers, you know, in the last, I believe it was the last Blitz show on Tuesday. He's not playing bad, but it's, you know, there are more. I think they're just a different team. And, of course, we won't get into the Cedric Benson thing again.
No, yeah, okay. we don't want to waste another half an hour on that.
But he's not playing bad. He's just not putting up huge numbers.
Yeah.
Or managing the game, and you know, Brady the same way. I don't know. Of course, you know, Brady didn't manage it too well against Arizona.
I mean, that
was a swarming defense.
Although I'll tell you what, that was the best last 5 minutes of a football game I've seen in a long time. Just anything that could happen, and you almost knew. I will say, no one's going to believe this. I would have bet money Gostkowski was going to miss that kick. Just the way that game was going, I'd have been willing to bet money that thing was going wide.
And he didn't miss it. you know, by a gnat's eyelash. I mean, this thing was gone. I mean, it came right off his foot, and you knew it was gone.
Yeah, instantly looked like the AFC Championship game last year.
You know, and then they hand off to, you know, Ryan Pisarcik, I mean, Williams, and it goes coughing, flying around. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Just absolute craziness. So I think the question we have to have when we talk Aaron Rodgers, we talk Tom Brady, are these guys going to come back? Is the what's the term Dennis used last week? The water is going to rise back to its level at some point, or do you see this is 2 weeks now? Now we're talking a trend where not bad games, good games, but not huge fantasy games, not top 8, 9, 10 fantasy selections where you drafted them over a lot of higher potential scoring guys at other positions. Are these guys going to rise? Are they going to come back to where they belong? Or is this the offense in both of those teams this year?
Oh, I think they're. You know, they belong in the top five, so I'm not going to say they come back to where they belong.
That's the question. You don't see them coming into top five?
Oh, no, I do.
Okay.
You said, or do they come back to where they belong? But, I mean, oh, I see what you're saying. No, I think they're both going to have good stats.
Well, yeah.
But let's face it, you know, Aaron Rodgers became top five when he wasn't. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Tom Brady did. You know, there's going to be quarterbacks, you know, and we may be looking one right now with RG3. I don't know. It may be a little too early to tell.
Well.
But these guys, you know, they're coming in, and certain guys move up, certain guys move down. Now, if Aaron Rodgers moves down to fourth, people that drafted him in the whatever first through tenth pick, whatever, they're going to say, oh, he had a crappy year. Well, you know, not really, but draft position wise, yeah, he probably did.
Yeah, I mean,
we talked about that.
You didn't, and that's the danger of taking these guys.
Yeah, we talked about that. Some of these guys, one or two of them, in the top three may not be in the top three this year.
It's almost a certainty. Trying to figure
Rodgers.
Out which one is
sure.
The difficult part, because in terms of fantasy points, you're looking. You brought him up, Robert Griffin III, through 2 weeks, the top fantasy producing quarterback, 526 yards, 3 picks, only 1 interception, which is incredible for a rookie. Plus 124 rushing yards and 2 TDs rushing. You talk about the Cam Newton effect, and we wondered about it. It's in full effect, and he might be Cam Newton, better than Cam Newton was last year.
Well, he was certainly, and maybe we didn't see it, but I think Griffin was put on a better team in his rookie year than Cam Newton was. And, you know, Washington had a pretty good defense. We really didn't know what Carolina had last year. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of a – I really like the way Griffin's been performing. You know, my question is this going to last? You know,
yeah.
And I'm not saying it so much, you know, with the rookie thing and this, that, and the other. The Washington's got to play Dallas twice. They got to play Philadelphia twice.
They play some good defense.
The Giants,
you're right.
Twice, you know, on and on. And you know, I think he's going to come back some myself. But I think this guy's really special.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's move on. Some disappointments, in my opinion. Look at a guy, Matt Schaub. Here's a guy in our main league, in our caveman league, in which I think we were remiss if we don't mention that I bludgeoned the man immediately to my right this week. I absolutely bludgeoned him. It wasn't even in question for most of the weekend. But we'll leave that go, Rick. We don't need to discuss that.
I actually made a brilliant coaching move that really...
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I just, for some reason, thinking Dallas playing Seattle and having, you know, a lot of rest between the early game and so forth on that first Thursday, that Jason Witten was probably ripe to really be a significant factor in the Dallas offense. So I benched Brent Celek, and I lost about 18 fantasy points.
Yeah, wouldn't have been enough to bring you back if that makes you feel any better.
Well, my Denver defense certainly collapsed too.
Because as I said, I bludgeoned you. But talking in that league, I'm tasked with Matt Schaub as my number one quarterback. Based on I went with the, you know, with the theory that if you don't take those early guys, go ahead and wait towards the end. And some of these other guys, your Cutlers, we had that whole list of players we went through. I won't read through them again. I still had Matt Schaub at the bottom of that list. Clearly, he's not an every week start. However, in this league, these guys started taking their second quarterbacks in the eighth round, which is probably why you and I will end up meeting for the championship again. But got stuck with Matt Schaub as my best option at quarterback by the time I rifled through all the huge value they left on the board. But here's Matt Schaub, a good offense, has a healthy Andre Johnson. Now you got Schaub, last week, 195 yards, doesn't find the end zone. I got Andrew Luck on the bench. Here's a question here. Rick from Pennsylvania, I'm going to ask the question each week. Is it Matt Schaub? Is it Andrew Luck? Do I start considering starting Luck over this guy?
Yeah, you better start considering it. That's for sure. Indianapolis doesn't have Arian Foster and Ben Tate.
Well, exactly, and that's the problem with Schaub. I don't think it's a Schaub problem.
Right.
Why would you throw the ball? Why would you risk throwing the ball when you have those two putting up the numbers they are?
Yeah, and when you look at it, you have Andre Johnson. You have one mouth to feed, really, in the passing attack. If he's happy, you don't really care about anybody else.
You're right.
I mean, throw a few passes to Andre, keep the defense honest, and just let Foster and Tate take it to him.
Yeah, and you look at the guys behind him. Last week, you're talking your Fitzpatricks, your Lockers, your Wilson, your Cobb, and your Sanchez, and then the surprise being Jay Cutler. Just a bad week. And, again, you said about Aaron Rodgers, more so Matt Schaub, just managing the game, managing the running game. He's not going to have numbers, and I fear long-term he's not going to get back. This guy's got 350-yard, three-touchdown-a-week potential. I just don't see him reaching it because they run the ball so darn well.
That's exactly right. And you may want to consider, like you said, an Andrew Luck. Or wait for that one big Schaub game. Sell high.
Yeah, if you can get rid of him. Unfortunately, like I said, in this league, all these guys have two top 20 quarterbacks. So outside of you and I. So let's move on. Not a lot of news at the quarterback position. Some huge news at running back. Here we are, second week in a row, C.J. Spiller. 15 carries, 123 yards, and gets in the end zone twice. Here's the question I have. Obviously, he's the number one running back fantasy-wise and real-world-wise in any way you look at it. Through two games, 292 yards, three touchdowns, and 72 receiving yards. Here's my question. Freddie Jackson's coming back at some point. What are the Bills going to do? And as a guy where I have him in one of my leagues, I drafted Jackson, I handcuffed him with Spiller a few rounds after. So right now I'm sitting pretty. When Jackson comes back, what's Buffalo going to do? And then conversely, what am I going to do? They can't take the ball away from this kid, but they still end up giving Jackson his touches if he's healthy. What's going to happen? Do both their values drop? Does Spiller keep the job? I don't know. I'm worried about this when Jackson comes back.
I'm worried too. I think a lot of it may depend on how Buffalo's doing. I don't know. If they start rolling people, I don't know, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think they're
probably
good.
Probably not.
I think they have to play them both. But, I think, how can you bench Spiller? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, I think kid's averaging about 10 yards a carry, I think, if you add it up.
Yeah. I mean, he's not getting... He's not getting 35 carries a game.
No, he got 15
right.
carries, and it was like that the week before. Correct me if I'm wrong, it was in the teens, I want to say 16 or 18, when he rattled off that huge number last week as well. So maybe that's it. Maybe even it is a split, I think. But I think probably what happens fantasy-wise, C.J. Spiller, as long as they don't reduce his role, becomes the number one fantasy option in Buffalo, even when Fred Jackson comes back.
I wouldn't doubt it. And, you got a guy coming in from, what is that, strained LCL.
I didn't even know we had an LCL.
So why
why
rush him in there when you got a guy in there running for 10 yards a carry as it is? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
so.
I think it puts you in a tough spot in terms of fantasy, especially as a Fred Jackson owner. I'll play Spiller even when Jackson comes back. Here, I'll make my declaration now. When Fred Jackson comes back, I'll play Spiller until such time as Fred Jackson starts getting two-thirds of the carries and you see Spiller's numbers drop.
Exactly.
Now, let's be honest, too. Spiller's not going to average 8, 9, 10 yards a carry all season. He's going to have some down games. But a kid with that kind of explosiveness won him a game last week. He put up huge numbers. You worry about him being garbage points in a blowout week one, but then put these numbers together in week two, made the difference and won the team a game. I don't see you taking the ball out of his hands, especially when you're only giving it to him 15 times.
I agree 100%.
So I think biggest surprise of the week, Rick, Reggie Bush, 26 for 172 and two touchdowns. I don't think you expect that on a week-to-week basis.
No. I didn't expect it this week.
No, well, that's just it. But look, a nice week for him. This is a guy, I tell you what, he slid down draft boards in a year where the running back position was really thin. There's a guy you probably got a pretty good value on. If you're counting on him in a flex spot, I don't mind having him week to week. Didn't have a big week, week one. He's going to have his ups and downs, but with the potential he has to go off like this, and he could do this any given week with any given defense, if they can find a way to get him the ball in space, these are the kind of numbers he puts up. I don't mind starting him week after week in a flex, and if I'm injured or if I, you know, I had a goofy draft strategy and I went quarterbacks and receivers early, to have him as a number two, I'm feeling pretty comfortable, especially after last week.
Yes, indeed. And, yeah, you know, I mean, everybody worries about Reggie Bush's health, but, you know, he had a full year last year, so I think he's going to be okay that way. And it's just how Miami progresses, basically. Is how it's going to go. I mean, they're going to key on him if they can't do anything else.
However, Tannehill successful, had a decent little game last week. At least kept them honest, kept the defense honest, gave him some running room. And I think the big takeaway, too, that Oakland run defense, that Oakland defense in general, just isn't very good.
No, and I'm not sure how good Oakland is, period.
Well,
by the looks of it right now. But, you know, time will tell. It always seems the AFC West teams, you know, San Diego is a classic example. They'll start out looking like they can't beat anybody, and then they'll close.
Rattle off nine in a row.
And Kansas City did the same thing last year, got destroyed. I mean, obliterated the first two games of the year, and then actually, you know, played pretty good after that, you know, reasonable anyway.
Yeah, yes, certainly.
Oakland's the same. So, you know, time will tell with these. Don't panic. You know, that brings up a question.
Okay.
Now, let's hit one of the questions while we're at it.
All right.
Okay. You go through the first week or two, and, you know, God knows I could be panicking after this week.
You mean when you got bludgeoned?
Brandon Marshall, Jamal Charles, you know, and Jason Witt.
Yeah.
really didn't help. And, Sean Green had no chance against Pittsburgh. But, people start to panic sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a question coming in on that we were talking, and I'm so tempted to trade for RG3.
Okay. Don't hate him for that.
His owner is 0-2, and he has two quarterbacks on his bench that give him 90-plus points every week.
Why does he have two quarterbacks on his bench,
It doesn't really matter.
All right, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay, this is – I don't think you saw it. I responded to him, you know, the guy's 0-2. He's got 90-plus points sitting on that bench. Those 90-plus points are hurting no one except Mr. 0-2.
Yep, that's true.
And to get RG3, especially now, you're going to be having to offer the house.
Yeah, that's the biggest.
Which is going to make this guy a contender. And why? Why do you want to do that?
Well, first of all,
2-0.
Yeah. Was there any discussion on what he'd have to give up?
No, there wasn't any discussion on that, but I didn't even ask that. I mean, we're talking.
Well, because here's the thing. One thing I don't subscribe to is to not make a trade with a middle-level team that could make them better. I don't necessarily agree with that. If you're making your team better, you should be able to beat him. If this guy's got quarterback issues, you can get Robert Griffin for the right price. And this guy's sitting 0-2, he's desperate. I don't know where this other guy's needs are. If he's got three quarterbacks, they're probably everywhere else across the board. So if you could package up some lower-level talent, absolutely, for me, bring Griffin in. But don't give away anything at this point.
Well, exactly. And
you're the seller. He's the buyer in this scenario.
Well, that's my point.
Keep it that way.
This guy's 0-2. Griffin right now is looking so good. And I don't know who his quarterback is. I didn't get into a lot of it. But I don't know. You can't – don't give your team away to upgrade if you don't have to. Like I said, this kid was 2-0.
Yeah.
The other guy's 0-2, and apparently, you know, a good 2-0 and a bad
0-2. Yeah, if you got three quarterbacks, one of them being –
I guess the point is don't panic. You're 2-0. You know, work a deal that's right for you.
Don't get too cute.
Yeah, don't just say, hey, I want this guy.
Yeah.
And that's when you start giving away too much.
Yeah, and you could set up your team to fail in that scenario, no doubt about it. So let's get back to the running backs. One guy, Rick, we were high on. We're going to toot our own horn a little bit here. A guy we were high on all of the offseason. Willis McGahee last night goes for 22-113, finds the end zone twice. Huge game out of him, and through two games looks really good and looks like a big part of that Peyton Manning-led offense.
Yeah, I tell you what, that was a weird game. And I didn't think the first quarter was ever going to get over, to be honest with you.
That was just a train wreck.
It was.
I'll tell you what, there hasn't been a call yet to this point, I think, that has shocked the world enough that the average fan is going to know how bad these replacement refs are. But all you need to know, I don't know what the true number is, Rick. It seems these games are averaging nearly 3.5 to 4 hours every game. The most basic of procedure penalties, they're having to huddle up for 30 seconds for a full minute to sort them out. It's just a disaster. It's making the product almost unwatchable if it's a game you wouldn't otherwise care about. I'm thinking like the average fan not doing all the fantasy stuff and all the betting and the things going on. If you're just trying to watch a football game and you watch the first, it is exciting as it was, and the play on the field was exciting with all the turnovers and everything Atlanta was doing in that first quarter. But that's about unwatchable. After every whistle, you got a 2-3 minute delay. A thing drug on. I mean, fights. You got coaches on the field. These guys got to get control of the game. It's time for the league to step up and get this thing resolved.
Well, the real teller to me was when that scrum was going on, and the one player, I can't remember who it was, grabbed the ref and pulled him out of the pile. Right there.
That's a two-game suspension out of that game.
Do that to Ed Hockley. I mean, you know what I'm saying? There'd be more laundry on that field than you can shake a stick at.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And, of course, and that just goes, none of those guys are dumb enough to do that. And they know it right now. These guys are out of their league. I mean, no pun intended.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with it with that point at all. And it's just they have a lack of control of the game. And it's the indecisiveness, that word shouldn't be so hard to say, that's killing me. Everything huddling up. Go back to the Steeler game. You know, we talked about it via text or on the phone, however we talked. That phantom pass interference call when Ryan Clark made that hard hit, the hard legal hit. They threw the flag. I promise you they threw the flag because of the hit. Realized there was nothing illegal about it, tried to take it, didn't want to pick up the laundry, so they met for 4.5 minutes and decided we'll call a pass interference. But they wasn't even bump and run coverage. There was no reason for the call.
No.
And these little things in games are going on. You're not seeing the big one. It didn't cost anybody a touchdown that cost them a game, so you're not seeing it. But 3.5, 4 hours a game, full, no overtime, it's just completely unacceptable. And it's watering the product down. It's making it hard to watch.
It is. And I saw the challenge flag going on that one tip pass.
Yeah.
And they finally discussed it for 10 minutes. It was tipped ahead of the play, and that's what reversed that call.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So that's our rant on that. So let's get back to I wish you guys could have saw. Go ahead, Rick. Yeah.
The guy won't shut up 10 seconds. You know, yeah, you just have to hit him with something.
We got to make this a video podcast.
But we are Fleeger and Briggs, and we are on the Tuesday Blitz on Blog Talk Radio,
BTRFF.com, and WSRU 88.1 FM. We are the asylum, as Rick has pointed out.
Yes, indeed.
All right, we got to put the wheels back on this thing. So let's play the game again, Rick. I'm thinking of a guy here. What do these guys have in common? Let me go through my list here. LeSean McCoy.
This isn't as fun as Factor Fiction.
No, it's not. It's not.
It's not sweeping the country. Right?
No. LeSean McCoy.
This is kind of like the replacement ref thing.
And I won't shut up, huh?
It's dragging on and on here.
What do these guys have in common? Let me start over again here. LeSean McCoy, Maurice Jones-Drew, and DeMarco Murray. What do they all have in common, my friend?
They're all pretty good.
Well, yes, certainly. Brilliant analysis. It's no wonder so many people download this.
Well,
through 2 weeks, those three gentlemen I mentioned are behind one. I think we're declaring, Rick, right here, right now, a new official running back of the asylum. because we've hinged our entire season on it. Those three guys I mentioned, Shady McCoy, MJD, DeMarco Murray, currently through 2 weeks behind one Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in total fantasy points.
Yes, that's for sure. And, you know, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis led the league in touches last week.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, forgive me if I might be off on one of those because these are standard scoring. I don't know if there's any PPR that makes that a lie. But point is, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis for 2 weeks, a guy, you know, we've been pretty high on, played against some, if not great defenses, but some fair defenses and putting up some numbers. Another guy we were high on that everybody was worried about, Frank Gore, does it again last week. 89 yards, finds the end zone, 105 total yards. I'll tell you what, that kid, he's probably older than me at this point, but he looks impressive right now, looks healthy, the reduced role actually helping him, I believe, and Frank Gore, part of that. I love the San Francisco team. They look about unbeatable right now, offense, defense. Frank Gore, a big part of that.
Yeah, and I had no doubts that they weren't phasing him out. I mean, this guy is an animal, and every player to a man on that roster is thankful that they got Frank Gore in there running that football.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Makes them look good. Moving on, we will a little full disclosure here. A guy we gave you as a start last week, or I did anyhow. I won't pin this on you, Rick. Trent Richardson, after that dismal debut he had, comes out 19 for 109 and a touch, plus catches a fairly long pass for a touchdown. A nice week out of him. So I guess the question is, which Trent Richardson is it? Is it the 2 yard a carry guy, or is it the 5 yard a carry guy, or is it both? And we're going to sort of have a Jekyll and Hyde all year.
I think that's what you may end up with Cleveland. I don't know. Cleveland, I've been a little bit not thinking they're as bad as everybody says they are.
Okay. Upon what do you base that?
Well, Whedon came along.
Well, yeah, we didn't mention that. We should have mentioned what Brandon Whedon did last week.
You know, you got to realize Trent Richardson's a rookie. Brandon Whedon's a rookie. They really don't have a set of receivers to write home about.
No, nice to see Greg Little was on the field this week.
Yeah, it was nice to see him put up some numbers.
Just Whedon, before I'll cut you off real quick, I think it's worth mentioning 322 and two touchdowns after that abomination he had in week one. Both of these guys, huge comebacks in week two.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be an every week thing with Cleveland, but they're going to get more comfortable in their roles. They're going to learn the offense better. And, yeah, they got a pretty good, darn good defense, which is going to keep them in a lot of games. So, you know, I think Trent Richardson is going to be a decent enough RB2 to a flex.
Yeah, he's going to have to be a low-end two. Depending on when you draft, if you drafted too early, you probably had him as a one because he was going around that 11-12 turn. Fell to the bottom of the second round, so he's probably, in some cases, your first. Hopefully, you found some value later on. You're going to have to play him as a two. I think overall, when it's all said and done, the value you're going to get out of him is going to be in a flex spot, somewhere like that, probably an every week start. Here's the thing that makes me nervous about the numbers both of these guys put up. I don't think anybody's arguing that Whedon's going to do that probably ever again. Richardson, he could do that again, not often. Have you ever noticed, Rick, and we watch a lot of AFC North where we're at, every time Cincinnati and Cleveland gets together, this kind of wacky stuff happens. I contend that Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, whatever the heck he's calling himself today, half of every dollar he made, because half of every stat he put up was when he played against Cleveland. These two teams get together and things just go crazy, wild games to the end, big points, big scoring. Always been like that. I don't know why that is. So I have a hard time putting a lot of credence into any numbers coming out of that game.
I agree there. There's no doubt. Those are the wackiest games. I can remember. It wasn't too many years ago. It was like, I don't know.
It was 50, Chad Johnson 50, at 230.
45
yeah.
or something.
Chad Johnson
really
well over 200 yards receiving and two or three touchdowns. That just went nuts. I don't have the numbers in front of me, obviously. But that's what happens when these two teams play.
Yeah. And, you know, look, Trent Richardson's going to have his game. That's for sure. I don't think there's stopping this guy where he's just going to be, shut down to 50, 60 yards a game. He's going to explode. I mean, yes, it's going to happen again. I'm just not sure Cleveland's offense is going to elevate him to that RB1 status right now, that's for sure.
No, certainly not. So let's get on to some of the disappointments, Rick, and we got to start about. I can't believe we didn't start the show with this. Chris Johnson again, 8 carries, 17 yards. Do we pull the plug yet? Already? You said don't panic. I'm panicking a little bit as a Chris Johnson owner.
Well, I'm kind of like on the same philosophy with Chris Johnson as you are now, I guess, with Fred Jackson.
Okay. That's
I think I'm going to bench Chris Johnson until
you're going to make him
such,
do it once.
Such time he starts looking like an RB1 again. I mean, you got, you know, this is why we say draft running backs early and often. You know, you should have some depth on your bench. If you're starting like two running backs and a flex, throw a wide receiver in there and get your running back 2 and 3 in there as your running backs. Bench Johnson. I don't know what's going on with that team. They're horrible.
Yeah, and maybe it's the quarterback position. I don't know what's going on. Here's the problem with Chris Johnson. Here's the problem we're all going to own as Chris Johnson owners. And we've done it. Anything you've listened to said this was the comeback year for Chris Johnson. You know, you started talking about it in April. He was coming back. The real Chris Johnson's coming back. My fear is you saw this out of him last year. He did this for a while. And then, bang, he popped off for 160 and a couple touchdowns. And then he'd have some average games, and then he'd tank out like this again. And 3 or 4 times he's going to put up those big numbers. I live in fear. You can't leave that kind of production on the bench. Skill-wise, you don't have anybody better on your bench. So the question is, what I'm probably going to do, I'm going to be the opposite for a while, and I feel stuck and I'm not happy about it. I think I got to play him every week. I don't necessarily have a better option behind him. And I don't want to be the one losing a game by 9 points and having 37 fantasy points sitting on the bench, because that's what the guy's capable of. My biggest concern is he's not getting any carries. You know, last week, was it 8 carries? Am I right on that? 8 carries for 17 yards.
He's
only averaging 2. You're giving the ball 20 times. He's going to break one eventually with that speed.
You would
what
think
are they
so.
Doing?
I don't know. I mean, it's reminiscent of Carolina last year, except they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a question. Do they bring Hasselbeck in to try to get a passing game going, get the vertical game going? They got to do something.
I don't think you have a choice, and that's probably the trick. I honestly think Chris Johnson isn't going to slam it in there on 8-man fronts. That's not what he does. He's going to get it in the passing game. You're going to get him the ball in space. You're going to run him on passing downs, and he's going to break off big numbers with his speed. So I think that's probably the trick, and maybe that's what you got to watch. If Tennessee can get their offense going in general, so goes Chris Johnson. And you know, the next guy, here we go, Darren McFadden. Here's a guy who's slowly and steadily staying healthy. That's all we got. How many times I say it? If he stays healthy, he finishes as the number one overall fantasy back. Well, last week, 11 carries, 22 yards, just dismal. Something in the 30-yard range last week, just dismal performance out of another similar player.
You're right.
I don't know what to make of these guys.
I don't know when
to pull the plug.
Similar teams is what I'm thinking. I mean, look, you know, Goodson had that big long pass play. It was a little swing pass. He went for like, I don't know what it was, 64 to 80 yards, something like that. I don't know. He just happened to be in there instead of McFadden.
Yeah.
But Goodson didn't have any rushing yards either.
Yeah. It was all on that one swing pass. So they're not able to run the ball. You know, here McFadden through 2 weeks, 54 rushing yards. If it wasn't for the 105 receiving yards, he'd be Chris Johnson to you, which is completely worthless. I mean, just, here's a list of the names that are ahead of both of these guys. You know, there's a big, actually, gap between Chris Johnson and Darren McFadden. But Andre Brown is outscoring both of these guys, and he has played, what, half of one game. Sean Drawn, is that how you say his name? Drone, whatever
right,
his name
yeah.
is, from Kansas City, who where he came from is beyond me. Michael Bush, just some, you know, Ben
okay,
Tate.
Let's clarify something real quick. Andre Brown's ahead of both of them.
Fantasy point-wise.
Okay. How about yardage-wise?
No, he's ahead of them both there because he had 72 yards and a touch last week.
Okay.
We have 21 total yards out of Chris Johnson, and
right.
we have, what I'd say, 54 out of
Well, that's what I'm saying. Andre Brown has 71 yards in 2 games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not knocking him or anything, but...
Well, he's a backup. He's
exactly.
a third-string running back.
Exactly.
It's not sad for him. It's pretty darn impressive.
Yeah.
He's probably going to start on Thursday
yeah,
night.
Yeah, he's playing well. But these guys are getting dusted by this guy. And I don't know. It's, you know, maybe we're feeding some of the panic here, but I think Chris Johnson has that... That is some serious concerns.
Yeah, well, look, these are two guys you could be panicked over, I think, is the biggest problem there. you counted on them. These two are your number one running backs at some point. You drafted them as your one. They're producing. They should be dropped in the real world. If you knew this was going to continue, you'd drop them. So what happens in the future? Now let's put on our prognostication hats, if you will. Does one of them come back? Do both of them come back? Do neither of them come back? Looking forward, get out your crystal ball. What happens the rest of the year for these two guys?
One thing that stands out a little bit to me is at least, and they haven't been scoring. I mean, it looks terrible, but at least Oakland moved the ball some.
Yeah.
You know, through the air.
Unfortunately, without McFadden.
Well, yeah, without McFadden. I don't know. I think McFadden, I don't know. I hate to make this call because they're just like, there's enigmas right now. But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we were talking a few weeks ago before the season started. If Darren McFadden played a full season or played 13 games, he was going to be top five. And he had that kind of talent.
Yeah, oh, easily.
And I just see him coming. I see him coming on more. I see Johnson doing better. But, I don't know, Tennessee concerns me a little more than Oakland. I think Oakland's in a weaker division. Eh, of course, the AFC South isn't that huge. But Jacksonville seems to play Tennessee awful tough.
Yeah, always
Indianapolis is an up-and-comer, and, of course, you had the Houston defense here, which they had to play twice.
Yeah.
All of them. And I like, you know, I like McFadden's chances of breaking out a little better than Johnson's right at this point.
Yeah, I think I'm obviously not giving up on either of them. Like I said, as a Chris Johnson owner, you know, you made the point you think you need to get him on the bench now. And then when he comes back, you play him. I'm going to have to ride it out for a few weeks. I feel comfortable enough in the rest of my squad. I can tread water at least until he comes back. But I'll tell you, after maybe 4 weeks, 5 weeks of this, then I'm out. You know, and maybe that's too long to wait.
You know, and I guess that's the, you know, that's the monkey wrench right there. If you're sitting there, and maybe you've lost a couple of tough games.
Yeah.
You know, and you're sitting at 0-2.
Well, yeah, if you have to shake something up.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to make, you know, the changes accordingly. If you've got to gamble and try to get back in the race, you know, you may want to do that. But like Rick says, if you're 2-0 and your other guys are performing, go ahead and ride him again because, you know, he probably will explode one of these weeks.
And here's where I, you know, and it's hard to make these calls after 2 weeks. And I have
exactly.
McFadden in one league. I have Chris Johnson in two. Maybe three if you count that one we're in together. But I can't keep those straight, so I'm not going to factor that in. But in the three leagues, I have one of those guys. I'm 1-1 with the McFadden team, and with the Chris Johnson teams, I'm 1-1 and 2-0. And the 1-1, I lost by less than a point. It was 0.6 points or something like that. So these teams are good enough. I can prop it up and wait for them to come back a little bit because, truthfully, I don't have anybody better on the bench.
Right.
And so I feel like I have to ride it out. I have to make that line, and that's a determination you're all going to have to make based on your team, based upon your rosters, how long you can wait. And does he come back? And if he does it once, can he do it again? It's scary. I agree with you. I think Darren McFadden, assuming he stays healthy, if he starts getting the ball more, they get the offense going a little bit. I don't worry about him so much.
Right.
He had the nice, he had, what was it, the 13 catches the first week. So although the running numbers were down, he has the ability to do that. That's how they're going to use him. Chris Johnson, look, this is 2 years of it now. This is two games of Darren McFadden doing this.
Right.
You know, the fear always with him was injury. So I'm certainly willing to ride Darren McFadden a little longer. I believe he's going to come out of this funk, although maybe not. Well, I'll tell you what. This would be the kind of week he'd do it against a good Pittsburgh team, getting him the ball out in space. It seems to be a poor tackling Pittsburgh team from what I've seen so far. But Chris Johnson, he's on a much shorter leash for me. But I'll tell you what, I'm getting close to the panic. But one thing not to do, I saw some back and forth on Twitter. Do I try to trade him now? You know, this is the time where sharks are going to come in, get these guys at a discounted rate, and you're going to regret it later, especially maybe McFadden.
Don't
be so quick to give these guys away. You're
obviously
not going to drop them. Don't give them away for nothing, to your point on that question we had earlier.
Yeah, I mean, you know, benching him for a week to ride it out a little bit is a lot different than trading him for, you know, a wide receiver two or three or something like that. Okay, I have a question for you.
All right.
Okay, and I know we really don't have a set answer for it, but it's kind of an interesting situation to me. You're listening to Fleeger and Briggs on BTR FF WSRU88.com, the Asylum Fantasy Football Show.
At WSRU88.1 FM.
Yes, indeed. But anyway, getting back to my point, we talked about, you know, we thought that Martin and Blount were going to be a lot like Bradshaw and, you know, the clown that went to San Francisco.
The clown that went to San Francisco. I believe Brandon Jacobs is
Brandon Jacobs. I was reading something there. I lost my train of thought. But anyway.
It'll come back around.
One thing is hitting me. Okay, LeGarrette Blount is getting absolutely no work.
None. Okay? None.
Now, you know, Doug Martin, I know everybody was high on him and everything. He's averaging. He's only through 2 weeks. I realize that. But he's averaging 55 yards a game, and he's like 3.7 yards a carry. Now, what does that tell you? I mean, is it just like Shiano is just like, I'm not using Blount unless I have to, no matter what goes on with the running game. I mean, that's what it's starting to look like. And to me, if the guy was averaging, you know, 6-7 yards a carry, no one would care. But he's averaging 3.5 yards a carry. They really don't have, you know, I don't know. I just don't. It's weird.
No, but look, but the bottom line is the final result. Doug Martin right in there with, you know, he's ahead of Maurice Jones-Drew. He's ahead of DeMarco Murray, right behind Green Ellis, McCoy, Lynch, Forte, right up there with them in terms of total yards and fantasy points. I think he's getting it done, but clearly there's got to be some personality thing or something between Blount and Shiano.
Yeah, I mean, that's not – I understand
He hasn't blown him away so much that Blount doesn't touch the ball.
This is when I'm not even talking fantasy. You know, I'm just looking right now at NFL production.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's going lights out by any stretch of
the imagination. No, I agree with that, 100%.
And that's where I'm – you know, because Jones-Drew's still 4.5 yards a carry,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't have training camp.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's just a little thing that it was going through my little pea brain head there, and I just wondering, it's got to be a personality thing.
Yeah, you wonder. You haven't heard anything about it, but it's interesting. I know both you and I, Rick, separately and on teams we have together, are stashing LeGarrette Blount on a lot of benches, and he's getting close to that drop point. I guess you keep him as insurance. He's a handcuff for Martin. If Martin goes down, maybe the only game in town then, but I certainly worry about it. So let's move on, Rick. We are rapidly running out of time. Man, these go so quick on a Tuesday after the way these weeks are going. Let's hit some wide receiver numbers here real quick. We talked about the Giants receivers. What do you make of Danny Amendola? 15 for $160 and a touch. Very impressive.
Oh, yeah. And
130 of them in the first half, if I remember right.
This could be, you know, everybody was writing off Sam Bradford and the Rams. And this is the same team that a couple of years ago was, albeit it was 8-8, 7-9 record. They were playing for a division title. They were very competitive. And, you know, he's not going to be doing that every week, no. But I think he's going to be, you know, someone to look at getting into your lineup, like in a flex spot.
Yeah,
like that, or you know, WR3.
Yeah, I think a third receiver, a flex guy, a guy you got late, you got cheap. Clearly the number one target, Sam Bradford, the offense. I like what the offense is doing. You know, one thing we didn't talk about, the Steven Jackson issue. Let's jump back to that real quick. You believe there's a groin injury, or is he just in Fisher's doghouse right now?
Now they seem to deny both accounts. So
he was just hanging out, I guess.
Yeah, I guess maybe he's got a, I don't know. I have no idea. An injury to the doghouse. I have no clue.
Who knows? But so interesting. But I think Amendola, a guy, probably not out on your waiver wires. But if you got him stashed on your bench, I think in a flex role, in a third receiver role, this guy's a good every week start. Happy to see Vincent Jackson, 5 for 128 and a touchdown.
My sole bright spot of the whole week.
Yeah, absolutely. So working himself into that offense. And look, Freeman, through 2 weeks now, looked really good. So I like this Tampa Bay offense, and I think these guys, Mike Williams comes back from the dead after that huge rookie year. He disappeared last year. He's got a couple touchdowns already. I like what this Tampa Bay offense is doing in general, and a guy like Vincent Jackson can take advantage of that. I think probably clearly a low-end number one fantasy receiver.
Yeah, I really like Vincent Jackson, and he's got a chance to have a really good year. I think he's got pretty good chemistry going in Tampa with Freeman. Now, Freeman, just playing well. I mean, nothing spectacular. You know, he's averaging, I don't know, right around 200 yards a game, nothing great. But, you know, he's not throwing those crazy picks he was doing last year. And I like what they're doing there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So here's an interesting guy. I know, Rick, in the last round of a lot of drafts, I went and picked up Austin Colley. Liked what I saw out of him and Andrew Luck in terms of chemistry in the preseason. Colley gets the head injury, has those concerns. 2 weeks in a row now, Donnie Avery, especially last week, 9 for 111 yards. Donnie Avery may be creeping up if you're in a deep league or you've got some injuries with the bye weeks coming up. Here's a guy you can play in that WR3 or a flex spot. Looks like he's the one developing the chemistry with Luck. On top of Reggie Wayne having a really nice season, a WR2 type of season, Donnie Avery seemed to be clearly becoming the number two target in that offense.
Hey, somebody's got to be the Harrison to Reggie Wayne's Reggie Wayne, I guess. But, hey, look, you know, a lot of people were really high on Avery, you know, a few years back. He's had a lot of health problems. I think he blew his knee out with the Rams that 1 year in preseason. He's just had a lot of bad luck. He's never really been on the field for a full season. Of course, that's the concern you have. But right now, ride him.
Yeah, absolutely, while he's hot. Something I think worth putting out. Not bad fantasy numbers, but certainly not Wes Welker numbers. 5 catches last week, 95 yards. It seems at least through 2 weeks, gone are these 10, 11, 12 catch weeks that you count on for Wes Welker. Doesn't get in the end zone. He's not going to. You got Gronkowski. I know Hernandez is hurt. You have Lloyd. You're not going to get a lot of touchdowns out of a guy like Welker. You know, 5 for 95, that's good wide receiver two, low-end wide receiver two kind of numbers. But you drafted him as your one in PPR formats, looking for that 8 to 12 catch games, and it hasn't happened yet. Is this long-term as well? You know, we've talked a lot about this in this offseason.
I'm curious to see how the passing game is going to change with Hernandez out.
Yeah,
and I don't know how long term he's going to be out. I really haven't seen anything, but boy, I tell you,
they reported 6 weeks, and then the people coming out saying they don't think it's going to be that long. But so who knows?
Yeah,
you know
how information roll on a big man's ankles, so.
And the information coming out of New England, it's hard to ever trust that.
Right.
So
yeah, I don't know. You know, I think you still need to keep Wes Welker in your lineup, but. It's kind of tough, you know, when you're looking for those kind of numbers and they're not getting them right away.
Yeah, no question about it. A couple more highlights. We're almost out of time here. Rick, we'll give you a little credit. One of your starts from last week, you said in a deep league or if you got the injury bug, put out Brandon LaFell as a sleeper. 6 catches, 90 yards. Nice week out of Mr. LaFell. More catches, actually more targets than Steve Smith. Steve Smith always seems to have 100 yards on 3 catches, which he did this week. But LaFell's getting a lot of targets. You pinned him early in the offseason, called him this week. Looking like a good call on your part.
I kind of like, you know, of course, we've talked, you know, many times, you know, before the season, off air and everything. I really like LaFell, you know, the third year guy, and he's coming into a pretty potent offense. And, you know, one thing I did like about Carolina, they actually started to run the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
So let's hit a question real quick before
we
run out of time from at DAMODLH on Twitter. Just real simple. Cutler or Tannehill? I don't really think it's a decision. Takes Cutler.
Still Cutler. It was a terrible week, but certainly not ready to bench him for Tannehill at this point. So that's it, Rick. We got about 2 minutes left. We wanted to mention, we wanted to thank everybody. Our show last week on the Blitz, the Tuesday Night Blitz, record numbers for us. I mean, just blew away anything we'd ever done. This thing's really taken off. We appreciate everybody listening, everybody downloading. Keep doing it. Tell a friend. Yeah, I know you don't want to tell everybody in your league. You keep these things separate, but help us out. This show's taking off in leaps and bounds, and we really appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. And try the DraftStreet.com free roll.
Absolutely,
you know,
free.
Just get on there, put in the code ASYLUM. You know, your friends at ASYLUM, and they'll get you into the $300 free roll. Give it a shot. It's great. You know, it's based out of the United States, 100% legal. Don't worry about it. And it's a good time, plus it's free.
Yeah, no, immediate payouts. And if you enjoy it, use them after that. They got leagues, you know, from $2 and $3 all the way up to a few $100s. You know, look, week to week, if you know your fantasy stuff, there's a lot of money to be made here week in and week out. So that's it. We are done. We will be back on our regular Blog Talk channel on Friday.
Stay tuned on the Tuesday Blitz for Kellogg's comments. And, you know, you'll want to stick around because the Blitz is just getting started.
Absolutely. Rolling all the way until 11 o'clock. Check out all the shows on there. Again, we appreciate it. We'll be back Friday in our regular time slot in our regular place. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell a league mate, whatever you got to do. Until Friday, we'll see you.
Take care.
Worked all week, cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got the cover off the 68. I fired it up and let them horses sing. A little pretty thing, a little tan leg Georgia dream. But she's rocking them holy jeans. Baby, what you got going on Saturday? You know, word's got it, it's gonna be a party. Out of town about half a mile. Four-wheel driving, big money.